The only thing that kept coming up on my mind while I was praying is about that coat that was tied in a place where two ways met. Then I went over to another place, and the Lord just laid on my heart where Paul said, I am a strait betwixt two. Then I went over to another place, and it said, multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision. And I said, well, Lord, what does all this mean? Of course, Brother Keith has already pushed you, and he's talked to you, and he's encouraged us, and he's moved, and just I'm glad he obeyed the Lord. There are folks that got something tonight that they desperately needed. But just this little thought, a sermonette, if you will, it's on my heart. And I don't know why, while I was praying, I just kept feeling this over and over and over again. That there's a tug of war going on. There's something, and I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling on here. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. But I just kept feeling that there is something that's just really pulling, trying to pull this thing. And on one end of this, the devil's trying his best to pull it the wrong direction. And I felt like today that today the pressure has increased on the pull. It's almost getting to the place that I don't know why in revival that things have to happen the way they do. But if you turn over and you look, when the children of Israel marched around Jericho, and we've marched here tonight, there's been enough marching here tonight until every wall that's ever been built up should have fell down. But here's the key to it. That even while they were getting the victory at Jericho and the walls came down, the devil came right into Jericho, slipped right in and offered Achan a temptation while they were triumphing. Yeah. There is a pull. I don't know. I didn't even know who's going to be here tonight. I wasn't sure if there'd be as many here tonight as there was last night. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. But there is a pull and a tug and a war that's going on. And if the devil's going to do his best to try to discourage us and make us think we're just not going to make it. But I want to tell you right now, when the Lord gives us the victory, and it's left up to us as individuals to make the choice to resist the devil. You cannot sit in your idle mind and entertain thoughts that you know will destroy your victory that you've attained the service before. You can't sit and go around all day long and meditate on things that'll take every ounce of victory out of your life. You've got to get on the right side of the road. You've got to make sure the Bible said, Paul writing and said, there is one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you, the Lord is pulling for you. He's on your side. But the thing is, don't utilize your strength and your power and make the warfare go the wrong direction. You've got to establish yourself and set your foot in a firm place and say, I'm not giving in. I am not going to give up. I am going to keep on fighting until I get what I came for. You see, it's easy for us to settle in here with an incomplete victory and say, we've got enough right now. There's been enough accomplished. It's been pondering. I've been thinking about it all day long today about how so much has been accomplished. And that even, and my wife and I said it, that even if revival closed right now, it's been a profitable meeting. But the Lord rebuked me today and said, but I'm not done yet. You can be satisfied with a little, but I've got a lot for you. And I felt like I
just kept telling me there's a tug of war going on. There is that power that's pulling you. It says you're tired, you're worn out. There's other things to do. There's a lot going on. Come on now. There's no reason to go any farther. But I feel like God's trying to pull some folks into a deeper walk that'll not only give them the quick fix of a shout and cold chills, but will eternally settle them in their soul. And that is the goal that I'm looking for. That somebody will not only come on, get in here and feel something, but they'll get something that will last. Something that will stay with them from this revival on through the remaining years until the Lord returns. But there's a tug. And I thought once today about going over to a store and buying me a rope and just bringing it in here tonight. And only thing I was trying to figure out is who was going to be my devil pulling on the rope on the other end. And I really couldn't figure out who that ought to have been. And y'all act like y'all know who it should have been. Huh? If y'all was volunteering, I believe I could figure out who y'all probably want to be that devil. Huh? But I want you to hear me tonight. The devil is doing his best. And I'm trying my best. But today I struggled and I fought and I wrestled, I prayed, and I read and come to church tonight and I thought, well, Lord, you're going to pull a miracle out right here. You're going to give me one of them last second sermons that I can get up and just dazzle the crowd. But I never did get that. But there are some decisions that's got to be made. I felt like today the Lord showed me you're at a crossroads in your experience. And the Lord said it's left up to you where you go from here. Come on. He said, I've led you this far. But now it's decision time. You can't. Don't allow the pull of the world to make a bad decision in your life. Stay in the church. Stay with God and say, I'm not giving up. I know the pressure is great. I've never seen such a pressure-filled time as it is right now. I took a Tyler over to the hardware store today and he loved that. That man in there, he turned that train on and was watching the train go around. But I noticed every time the train went around the front of the store, that girl was working the counter, she was doing this and doing that. And finally, I just eased on up there and I asked her what she's doing. And she said, well, that train derailed the other day. And it hit one of them men in the head. And said, I'm just trying to avoid the same thing happening to me. And I want to tell you right here. Hey, listen, there are some things that we can avoid. There's been enough mistakes and enough blunders that's been committed to do all of us. Amen. So take a little advice. When the train comes rolling around the track, dodge those fiery darts and stay out of line with the devil. If you know there are certain things, certain places, certain conversations that does detriment to you spiritually, then I'll tell you, avoid them. If there are certain people that gives you trouble and being with them, just drains the life right out of you, then you need to stay away from that until you get a little bit more solid in your spiritual experience. It is foolish. Foolish. You hear me now. That whenever you know something is a weakness to you, to put yourself in jeopardy by going and standing right in the middle of it. Until you get sanctified over that want to, the best thing you can do is avoid it. Amen. Hallelujah. If you know you've had problems with cigarettes, don't run and sit down in the middle of a place where everybody's smoking all the time. Huh? Choose the non-smoking section in the restaurant. Go to another place. Go sit outside if you have to. There are some things, I don't know why I'm even telling you this,
But I feel like telling you this. And this may or may not get Brother Keith off the hook tonight. It really don't matter. But there's a tug going on. There's a war that's going on. And I don't know why. I just felt like this kept rolling over and over and over and over in my heart. That the Lord said, you can do something about this. You don't have to leave here defeated. You can walk out of here with the victory. If you know that something is giving you trouble, I know I've done said it once, but I feel like saying it again. Stay away from it. If it is your weakness, and it has been that sin that besets you, then that's the very one that you need to avoid. Get out of there and break ties with it. It's going to pull you back out by the house of God. You hear me now? There's a war going on. But if I got anything to do with it, I'll take hold of your rope and pull you right on through. But the Lord said, it's not your job, preacher. It's left up to them which way they're going to go. They've got to decide. They're in a strait betwixt two, and they've got to make a decision.
Well, you know this ain't my notes tonight. I mean, if you're on a diet, you don't go and sit at the sweet shop. Well, they've got all kinds of brownies and cookies and pastries and everything else, and sit down there and order you a cup of coffee. Well, that coffee's going to taste a little bland without something to go along with it. Huh? And it won't take long until you won't be on a diet anymore. And my wife told me before Christmas, she said, we're going on a diet after Christmas. And, you know, that was a pretty good idea. But she went and made all this candy. And she won't even eat it. And made it and set it right in the refrigerator, right there where I go in there to get my soft drink. And it's right there. In order to get what I want to drink, I have to go right over there. And I mean, you know, I just couldn't help myself. And the only thing that saved me was she finally gave some of it away. Y'all ain't helping me on this, are you? But I feel like telling somebody right here tonight, you've got a weakness. You've not yet conquered that weakness. You've not completely overcome that thing in your life. That has been a problem you've had for some time. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you're going to win this battle, then you better stay away from that thing until you get sanctified against that. Until it does not bother you anymore. Years on down the road, you may be able to go back and face it, and it won't bother you at all. I can tell you right now, cigarettes are not a temptation to me. I never did like the things. I got no desire for the things, so it really don't bother me at all. But those things in life that are giving you trouble, I feel like telling you, pull on the cord and go the other direction. Don't keep putting yourself under the gun, because in a weak moment, you hear me, you're going to fall.
I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but I'm feeling like telling you, and I'm fixed to quit. I told you it's just a short message. If it even qualifies as preaching. Come on, Brother Keith. I'm telling you what a great friend I have over here. That's who I thought ought to be the devil, didn't you? Come on now. There's a tug. And I can see the Lord's pulling you one way and the devil's pulling you the other. God's not willing that you perish. He's not going to pull you apart to keep you right. You've got to make the decision. If what you felt right here, you hear me now. If what you felt in this revival, what you have felt in the altars and in the services that have taken place right here, if you have enjoyed that, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God forgave you of your sins, then I think I would cast my lot with that rather than taking a chance on playing around with pleasure, getting close enough without actually, you're not actually doing it, but you're getting as close to doing it as you can with actually being guilty of doing it. Huh? And I'm going to tell you, you tiptoe around the edge long enough and you're going to fall in. Years and years and years ago, you may have heard this before. It's just an illustration. It's been way before the automobile. They were looking for stage coach drivers. And they brought them in and they interviewed them. And they asked them, first man that came, he'd been driving a stagecoach for a year. And they asked him, what we want to ask you is how close can you get to the edge of this cliff without running over the edge? And he said, well, with what little experience I got, and as well as I've been able to maneuver this thing, he said, I can get within 5 feet of the edge of this without running over. And he said, okay. And the next man came in. He had 10 years experience. And they asked him, said, how close can you get to the edge of this cliff without going over? He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, I'm a pretty good driver. He said, I can get within 2 feet of the edge of that cliff without going over. And they said, okay. And the next one came. He had 20 years of experience. And they asked him the question. They said, how close can you get to the edge of the cliff without going over? And that man looked at him and he said, I'm not getting close to the edge of the cliff. Because living on the edge, there's no room for error. He said, if the reins give way or the chain breaks, or something comes loose, he said, we're gone. He said, but I'm going to stay as far away from it as I can and still get to where I'm going. That's exactly what you need to do. Stay as far away from those things. Surround yourself with good fellowship. Hallelujah. Surround yourself with church people and you'll benefit far better than saying, I can do this close. Come on now. I mean, that's almost as good as almost telling a lie, but not really telling one. I mean, leaving out enough details to where somebody can take it and believe it either way. You ain't helping me here. But I want to tell you, we can't afford to live on the edge. Come on, there's a ravine there and a bottomless pit. And if you fall over, there's no guarantee that you're going to live to get another opportunity like this again. Well, that's my message for the night. And I just feel like there's a pull. It's Tuesday night, and it's a few minutes later than it was when I started a while ago. There's a pull. It is one of the most disappointing things that myself, as an evangelist, have ever had to suffer through. It's whenever somebody gets saved, they're in a revival, and they quit before it's over. I'm not going to tell you that the devil is going to stay out of Jericho just because the walls fall. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to do what Achan did. You can leave it laying, walk right on by. And then when we come to Ai, we won't have to suffer a setback because of sin in the camp. Achan walked past, and there's that Babylonian garment. No devil said it. Boy, that looks good, don't it? Take that and you bury it long enough, and later you can pull that. Nobody know where you got it. Nobody had no idea where you get to that. There's a little gold, a little silver. I don't know why he did it, but he couldn't contain himself. He just
feel like he picked it up and looked at it first. Yeah, that's the real stuff. Well, there's so much stuff here. It won't hurt. I'll just hide it. I know at that moment in time, I believe the Lord spoke to Achan and said, leave it alone. Keep your mouth closed. Close your eyes. Turn and walk away. But Achan had already entertained the voice of the devil too long. And it led him, it convinced him that it would be okay. And there would be no consequences for that silver and gold and Babylonish garment that he was going to carry to his tent. We know the aftermath was that sin does have a payday. And I feel like telling you tonight, don't let the devil pull the wool over your eyes. Whatever he's telling you is all right, it's wrong. It is going to cost you something down the road. Leave it alone. It's my message tonight. And if it's what you want to hear, I mean, I really myself, I like them high octane, super duper, high powered sermons that makes everybody want to shout. But the same Lord that spoke to me this week and last week is the same God that told me today they're in a war. They're being pulled from both directions. But you tell them, they've got to make a decision which way they'll go. Amen.